I'm Aaron Winawiski. I'm the pastor here. Good morning. It's good to see you. This morning, I'm going to start things with something that I didn't mention. You know, if you get our weekly email newsletter, sometimes I'll say what's coming up on a Sunday, or you see in your program next Sunday what's coming. I didn't mention. I'm going to do a quick six-month financial update. I didn't mention it because I wanted people to be here. If you're just here and you're new and you might be a little bit concerned about this, relax, take a deep breath. There are people who are involved in this church who are investing in what's happening here, and they like to know what's going on. And if you are new here, well, you might as well hear some of this anyway. But we are a church that really believes in what Scripture says about not feeling like you're giving under pressure or compulsion, but that people who are giving an offering would give it joyfully and cheerfully. So I'm giving this update as a way to help you know what's going on, not as a way to put on pressure or compulsion. So we are a church that operates on a fiscal year that starts July 1. So at the beginning of the calendar year, we're 6 months into our fiscal year. So this is the six-month financial update. Now, there are some important principles that we've taught people here about personal finances. If you're a disciple of Christ, if you're a responsible person with what God has blessed you with what He has given you, there are certain things that are responsible to do. One of them is this concept of a tithe that means a tenth. God gives you everything. Give 10%. Back to Him, live on 90%. Have an emergency fund, have some money socked away for if something goes wrong so you don't end up having to go into debt. Pay your bills, eliminate your debt, and save and invest for the future. So here's a snapshot of what's happening at New Day, because just as we want our disciples, the people who are part of this church, to operate in a responsible way financially with what God has given you, we as a church want to operate responsibly with what God has given us. So, for instance, 10% of all of our offering goes to missions, goes to support things other than what we're specifically doing right here in this room. So even the church gives a tithe, a 10% back to God by expanding kingdom works. We have some equity, our office space over by Abbey Bank in Weston. If you assume that the value of our office property is $160,000, then we have $72,000 equity because we still owe about $88,000 on that property. That is our only debt, so we continue to knock that down. Picture two up here, reserves. Reserves are like a water tower. Sometimes there's a time of drought, and you need to have some reserves. So our goal is to have a pool of reserves that has at least 3 months of expenses covered and ready to go. And we're about 72% to that goal. Last year, we were only at 24%. So that's movement in a positive direction as far as being able to be responsible by saving some money. Now, compared to July through December of a year ago, our total offering is down 8%. Our six-month budget fell $12,700 short of what we projected for income. So we've also spent less money in order to balance that. We're not spending money we don't have. What that means, though, is like, for instance, we've had some times over the last 6 months where we've been a little bit short staffed, and so some of the things that we want to do, we're not able to do as well if we don't have the funds to do that. But if you've seen the trailer, we were able to purchase a new trailer and get some graphics put on it. We're able to still do some improvements just because our our leaders, our ministry team leaders, our finance team, our church board have done some responsible things in how we can handle our money so we can do some of the things that we've been wanting to do. So, 2016 giving statements were all mailed out this week. With that six-month financial report behind us, let's pray. God, we acknowledge that there is nothing we can give to you that you don't already own. It's all yours. You are the creator. You are awesome. And you have been merciful enough to share with us. And for that, we're grateful. I pray, God, that we would be a people who do walk around with just a posture of gratitude for all that you've that you've provided for us. I pray that we would not only be a people of gratitude, but that you'd grow us to be a people of generosity, a people who acknowledge you by giving to others and finding that as we let go of the things that we trust that come from this world, that you give us things that we never anticipated. God, may we be faithful in how we manage our resources as a church, as disciples of you, for your glory and our benefit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Oh, you know, sometimes I just don't wanna. You ever have that feeling, that attitude? I don't wanna. Sometimes I wanna give until it hurts. You know, I'm so excited to like be generous. And sometimes I'm like, you know, I don't wanna. Sometimes I wanna storm the gates of hell with a water pistol. You know, I have those like Braveheart moments where I'm like, well, you can't take our freedom. You know, I just wanna go and shout and change the world. And sometimes I just don't wanna. Sometimes I just wanna do like this, you know, this. Like, bring up a dumb game on my phone and just waste time. Sometimes I have some leisure time and I think, oh, there's some these books that I could be reading. So I just don't even wanna. I don't know if you guys ever feel like I just don't wanna. As I was preparing to teach about spiritual gifts a couple of weeks ago, I ran into this article about somebody who felt relieved about something that he wouldn't have to do. Local man relieved after spiritual gift test comes back negative for giving. Now it's a satirical article. This truly is fake news. Okay, but you could go online. You can read this article, and it talks about this guy who took like an online spiritual gifts inventory, which is something that we've been talking about. Discovering your spiritual gifts. If you're a follower of Christ, God has given you a supernatural ability to do something that will have outcomes that are greater than you could have done on your own strength to benefit the church, to give to others. And I'm not saying benefit the organization. I'm saying benefit the other people who are worshiping with you, who are serving with you, that God gives spiritual gifts. So this guy got his inventory back. And one of the spiritual gifts is the gift of giving. And he saw that giving wasn't in his top, so he was like, okay, good, I'm off the hook. Sometimes we feel good about that. Good, I'm off the hook. I'll be honest with you, the spiritual gift of mercy is very low on my inventory. That doesn't mean I'm off the hook, folks. That doesn't mean I don't have to be kind to people. It doesn't mean I don't have to be compassionate. I still have to learn to be loving towards others. There are just some people, though, who if they visit you and you're in the hospital, the room gets warmer. They just have that gift. That isn't me. I walk into a hospital room and I'm like, do you want to learn something from the Bible? Some people can walk into a situation and they see somebody crying and they're just like, they feel it inside of themselves and they start crying and everybody's crying together. I walk into a room where people are crying. I'm like, I could run and get some tissue. I can do that. But that doesn't let me off the hook. So sometimes I do want to be let off the hook. I want to sit on the couch, I want to eat chips, and I want to watch movies. But eventually that does get old. I mean, if we're honest, we ultimately want to be involved in something that's real, something that's meaningful. We recently celebrated Martin Luther King Jr. Day. We felt inspired by remembering someone who stood up against injustice, doing whatever it takes to bring a greater level of freedom, a greater level of justice. And we think of him as being someone who fought for peace and who fought for justice for African Americans in the United States, but he fought for justice all around the world. And I hear those stories and I'm like, oh, I want to do that. I want to be like that. We have something inside us that wants to do more, that wants to be more, that wants to get behind something where people are doing whatever it takes. If you haven't already, go see the movie Hidden Figures. We get excited about stories where regular people, like the people in this movie, are put in a position to be able to make a real difference. That's us. We're put in a position to bring good news to those who are spiritually bankrupt, to bring news of freedom to people who are enslaved to their sins. People who don't know that there is hope for them need to hear that there is hope for them, that there is a God who loves them. We are in a position to bring that hope, to bring greater justice, to bring love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. How many of those things do we need more of in our neighborhoods? All of them. All of them. That's the journey we've been on here at New Day. We've been talking about God creating all things new, creating us as new creatures, showing that we are grafted into God's family tree. We're not cut off any longer. We're part of His family. And to find that as we abide in Christ, as we stick with Him, we grow in Christ. And as we grow in Christ, God produces fruit in our lives, like a tree that is just stagnant, that then comes to life and produces blossoms that provide beauty to the world, produces fruit that provides nourishment. God wants to provide beauty. He wants to provide nourishment. He does it through you, through me. Sometimes I don't want to. My big question today is, are you like the person who's at the football game who has just been in 4 consecutive plays and you are breathing hard and you've got to sit on the sideline, you've got to get some Gatorade in you, you've got to take a breath? Are you like that person when you feel like I don't want to? Or are you the person sitting in the stands who the most you've ever done is just really shout a lot? And you don't even want to get on the field. You don't even want to get in the game. Sometimes it's okay to say, I don't want to. I can't. I need to take a breath. Some of us need to get in the game. It's time. No more shouting from the stands. It's time to get on the field. Last week, we saw that good works are ultimately meaningless. When I talk about getting on the field, I'm not just talking about try harder, do more. Because what we find is that good works that we do on our own strength ultimately are meaningless. Everything passes away except what is done through God, through Christ, by Him. So just trying harder, just doing more isn't what we're talking about. Good works without faith, you're not in the game. You're just shouting. Faith is when you step out on the field. Faith is what puts you in the game. And then when you're shouting your teammates. Then when you're When you're getting scrappy, you're not just fighting with other fans. You're fighting against the enemy. When you have faith, you're stepping on the field, and what you do matters. Ultimately, eternally, and as everything else passes away, what you have done matters when it's done through faith in Christ. So, good works ultimately are meaningless without faith. Nothing lasts apart from Christ. And this week we'll see that faith without good works is dead. If you're on the field and you're not playing the game, you're getting in the way. James chapter 2, starting in verse 14. What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith, but don't show it by your actions? Okay, you're wearing a jersey, but if you don't block that guy, you're not doing your job. James says, can that kind of faith save anyone? Can that kind of faith save anyone? He's saying there are different kinds of faith. There is a faith that is without good works. And he's saying, here he says, suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing, and you say, goodbye, have a good day, stay warm, eat well. But then you don't give that person any food or clothing. What good does that do? So you see, faith by itself isn't enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it is dead and useless. So there is a faith that is alive and that is shown, that is seen in a transformed life. And then there is a faith that is dead. Some people wonder if James was actually arguing with Paul when he wrote this. Because Paul, this is James writing to relatively new Christians, and then Paul writes a letter to relatively new Christians in another area, and to those Christians he writes, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast." But I think James was addressing another way that our corrupted hearts justify ourselves. See, there's a way that our corrupted hearts justify ourselves that say, thank God I'm saved by grace, so I don't have to do anything to earn salvation. So Paul is speaking to people who are saying, thank God I'm saved by works. I've been a good person. And Paul says, no. You're saved by grace. God saves you, not by your good works. Somebody might say, okay, well then I guess I don't have to do good works. And James says, no. That's not the case either. If we read Paul's words about faith and works in context, that means with some of what he said around that, we can see that he's in agreement with James here. Take a closer look. Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 8. We're going to read that again in just another way of wording it, and we're going to continue on past where we just read. God saved you by His grace when you believed. You can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus. All things new. We are new, created new, giving us a new life, wiping out our past, giving us a new future. I want you to actually read the last part of this with me, starting at so, okay? So we can do the good things He planned for us long ago. He created us new so we could do good things. Paul isn't in disagreement with James. They're not in disagreement with each other. They're both saying faith is lived out in a transformed life. So we can acknowledge the existence of Jesus. We can have that kind of belief that He's the Son of God. If we continue reading in James, he explains that even demons believe. They believe that. They shudder. But they're not saved simply by acknowledging what is true. Faith is actually relying on Jesus for salvation, letting the Holy Spirit guide your life as you worship God as King. The demons don't do that. They don't worship God as King. They don't trust Christ for forgiveness. They don't follow the Holy Spirit's lead. They acknowledge what is true, but they don't have faith. Michelle and I are going to leave here, actually, in a few minutes, before the service is even over. We're leaving early. Yeah, we're going to be those people this week. I know, I see when you get up, when you, like, bolt. I get to do that. I get to see what the parking lot looks like when we're not some of the last people leaving. It's going to be fascinating. We're going to leave here in a few minutes, and we're going to drive to Minneapolis. We're going to hop on a plane to Orlando. I say, all of this God willing. Not everything goes smoothly when I try to hop on a plane. We're serving as assessors at a church planting assessment center run by our movement of churches, Converge Worldwide. There are a couple of candidates who are feeling led to plant churches in central Wisconsin. One of the candidates has asked if I would coach him. So we're going to take a trip down there so we can go through, check out this assessment. Since New Day started, we have acknowledged that one of the most important things we can do is to be involved in planting churches. In North America, planting new churches is the single most effective way to reach people for Christ. So we're involved in planting churches. I'm excited to see new churches spring up in central Wisconsin. So we're going to Florida. Now, the assessment center doesn't start until Tuesday, which means we have Monday in Orlando. And we're going to take the opportunity that tomorrow, to go to Universal Studios. And we're going to ride some roller coasters. Now, I'm not going to get into my whole history of roller coasters. I will say this, though. It's traumatic. And there was a time in high school where Michelle and I, we're high school sweethearts, where we took a trip with some friends of ours, took a road trip down to Six Flags over Great America down in Illinois, and we stood in this long line to get on this roller coaster, and we went through the long line, and when it was our time to get on to the roller coaster, I said, okay, have fun. Michelle looked at me. What do you mean? Have a good time. I'll see you when you get off. You're not serious, are you? Well, yeah, there's no way I'm going on this. Yes, you are going on this. It had never crossed my mind that I would actually get on the roller coaster. Never crossed my mind. I didn't mention that to her. So she eventually put the pressure on me, and that's a whole other story. It was probably a minute and a half, but it was a long minute and a half. Again, that's the story for a whole other time. But I believed that my girlfriend and my friends would come off of that roller coaster safely. I believed that. I did not have enough faith to put my own butt in the seat. There is a belief that acknowledges what is true. Faith gets on the ride. All right? Faith gets on the ride. You can believe it's all going to be okay. But until you get your feet off the ground, put it in the seat, put that harness over you and go, okay, I'm no longer in control here. Take me where you will. I am trusting that I will not fall off of this thing. Until you get on the ride. That's not really faith. So what does this look like? Faith in action. Practically. James gave the example of meeting practical needs in the church. Seeing brothers and sisters who are in need. I've seen people in this church provide gift cards, money, meals, babysitting. So just some fun, some relaxation. I'm going to be honest with you guys. We were not in a position, Michelle and I, to be able to purchase the tickets for to go to Universal tomorrow. But some folks in some small groups knew that we were going to Orlando and said, here, have some fun. Gave us a card that had some money in it. That's awesome. What a cool church. And they don't, it's not just something that people do for me because I'm the pastor. I get to see people do this for other people. Not everybody gets to see that. But oftentimes I get to be the one who delivers something and go, someone has been praying for you and they thought this would be a blessing. I love it. So, fun, friendship. I mean, people, hey, you want to just go grab a coffee? Getting rides to church or rides to work or to an event, a place to live. We have had people open their homes for someone who's having a hard time affording their place, or they just needed to save some money, or something happened where they had to make a change and they provided a place to live. A car. We have had people give cars to other people. We have had people loan cars to other people who are in need. It's just acknowledging that somebody has a need and then meeting that need. Now, this only works when you get to know people in the church and let them get to know you. How is someone going to know your need if they don't know your name? If you're like I'm going to be today and you bolt, how does this happen? It's going to take some initiative on your part. We have some systems in place to help that. We have snacks after the service outside these doors. This is not just because you're hungry. This is because people gather and talk around food. It's more comfortable to be in a line and say to someone, hey, I'm so-and-so, what's your name? As you're both waiting for food, and then to sit down and eat something. Have a cup of coffee. We have a regular second Sunday lunch. Gives you a little bit more time. It typically happens right here in the commons. To sit down, introduce yourself, get to know somebody else. We've got small groups where people are getting together in homes, in living rooms, and really getting to know one another on a more friendly basis. You can serve in a ministry. There are people here starting at 8:30 in the morning, and after you've done what you need to do to set up, well, you could get to know somebody. There are ways to get to know people. Now, I have people who call the church office, and often when a phone rings, it's somebody trying to sell me something or somebody trying to ask the church for something. I don't see the church as something God designed primarily as a charitable organization. It doesn't do a lot of good, I don't think, if somebody calls and is looking for money for us to just give them money. God has designed for people to connect in authentic relationships with other people. The church isn't just this community service organization. It's a group of people. And something I have a hard time with is giving money to someone who doesn't know the people who contributed that money, who think the church is this kind of cold organization. But when someone hands you a card and said, and they know you, and they look you in the eye, and you've talked before, and they hand you a card and say, I've been praying for you. I hope this is a blessing to your family. That's where we see the church in action. We have the luxury of being like a smaller church where that happens, and it can continue to happen. So this works. When you get to know people in the church and let them get to know you, get on the ride. Trust God by entering into loving, supportive relationships. Another example that's coming up, it's a few months down the road here, but what about giving blood? Do you believe saving lives is a good thing? Are you donating blood? Why not? For me, fear was the reason that I wasn't. I want to challenge you to consider donating blood at New Day's Good Friday blood drive. It's coming up in April, so if you're afraid of needles, you got a little time to work up to it. But here's the thing. Remember on Good Friday. Good Friday is a day that we remember Christ being sacrificed on the cross, letting himself be sacrificed. He was pierced by huge spikes to save you from your sins. Being pierced by a tiny needle to save someone else's life is pretty minor in comparison. Do you have faith that God will care for you, even through your fear? Get on the ride. Let God give you courage to do good for others. Faith, getting on the ride, looks like tithing. I know some of you shudder when I hear that, or when I say that. Giving a tenth of your income back to Him. Annual giving statements just came out. What is your giving statement? What does your giving statement say about your faith? About how much you trust God with your finances? Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. A lot of us have heard this before if we've been around in churches. It says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse so there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test, says God. Get on the ride. See if I hold you up. And I see tithing as a starting point. In the New Testament, people sold their property and possessions in order to give to needy people in the context of the church. It's not like, okay, you've made it to 10%, you're good, that's enough. What else do we do in the life of a disciple that's like that? When have you prayed enough? When have you read the Bible enough? When have you been generous enough, really? Are we really going to cap it? 10% is what God expected people to do in the Old Testament to bring to the temple, to honor Him, to provide for the work that was happening in the temple. But we're no longer under that obligation. We give freely, joyfully, generously. Here's what Paul says, 2 Corinthians 9, starting in verse 6. Remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop. But the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. And God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. Michelle and I have been tithing for a long time, and we see that as a starting point. So we have offerings that go beyond tithing. We support missionaries. I'm not saying this to brag. I'm just saying that before I was involved in church leadership, this was a part of our discipleship. This is a part of what we did, and what I encourage other disciples to do, because sometimes something happens, like you get a bunch of car repairs that need to happen, and somehow they don't line up with paydays. And what you get to do is receive something like a thank you card from someone in the church that says, we really appreciate you. Here, go have some fun when you're in Florida. And instead of you, me, getting the feeling that, okay, I did this, you get to go, wow, isn't God good? Now, when finances get tight, we could look at that giving statement and go, wow, things would be a lot different if we weren't giving this to the church, you know, every week, every month. Things sure would be different, but yeah, really, would I trade it? Would I trade it for those moments where we get to go, wow, God came through in ways that we couldn't have anticipated, that we couldn't have organized. If you have ever made the switch from giving your leftovers to giving a planned amount, a percentage to tithing. If you've ever made that switch, you know what I'm talking about because you've experienced that. Get on the ride. Faith looks like getting out of our comfortable cocoons and engaging in backyard missions. We've talked about that a lot. We're going to keep talking about it. You want to make a difference? You willing to take a week off from work in order to serve in your own community? What about a day off? What about an hour? Get on a ride. Faith looks like these men and women who are going through this church planting assessment in Orlando. They're stepping into the unknown. They're trusting God to meet their needs and to build His church. They are getting on the ride. Faith looks like Annie and Renee Selly, people who were a part of New Day before they moved a few months ago. They saw the poverty and devastation in Haiti. They started doing fundraisers to adopt a child. They would make granola, and a lot of us used to buy their granola in order to raise money, in order to help this happen. It's a four-year journey, and now their daughter, Wadleen, is in a stable home with a family who is going to protect and nurture her in ways that she has never known. There's so many things that can be difficult about a transition like this, but they are not focused on those things. Their faith is in God. I talked to Andy yesterday. He called me on the phone. He knew we were going to put this up here. He wants to thank all of you for your prayers. They continue to need them for your prayers, for your love, for your support, everything. They're so grateful to see what God has done through you in this situation. Faith looks like joining the prayer and care ministry team with the idea that you're going to do more than pray for people. You're going to follow through with people to find out how God could answer their prayers through you. Write a note on your communication card if you want to start getting in the game and you want to start receiving people's prayer requests and you want to pray for them and you want to consider, what can I do to be part of God's answer to this prayer? That's one of the wonderful things that I've seen. Wow, somebody seems to be going through a lot of health challenges just over and over and over again. What might they need? Let's have a conversation. Let's talk to them. Do you need meals? Do you need money? Do you need a ride? Let's find out. Let's be those kinds of people. If you want to take that step of faith and trust that as you put yourself out there, God is going to fill you up to overflowing, right? Make a note on your communication card. Say, I want to learn more about the prayer care ministry team. And our ministry team leader, Tina, is going to get in contact with you and let you know how to do that. If you have the gift of mercy or exhortation or giving, this would be a great way to get involved. Like I said, that mercy, that's not me, but some of you just want to care for people. I could keep going, but I'm out of time. I got to get on a flight. I want you to begin to imagine, though, the story that God is writing here as we have a faith that is beyond belief. A faith that is about action. Can you begin to imagine the story God is writing here? People who were separated from God, becoming God's people, gathering around God's word in order to do God's will. The convergence of being grafted by God, growing in Christ, giving through the Spirit, the full force of authentic relationships, biblical teaching, having a whatever it takes attitude. God saving people by His grace through faith, making us new so that we can join Jesus in foreshadowing the day when He makes all things new. Heaven invading earth, today, tomorrow, until we die or He returns, locally, nearby, and around the world, living life as new creations together. Let's get on the ride. Let's pray. God, we are so grateful that You have planned good works for us. We're so grateful that we've got more in front of us than sitting on the couch with a bag of chips watching a movie, that there is a story that we are a part of, that there is a game that's so meaningful, that there's an enemy that is so real. And God, that You are not intimidated God, that you have already won. God, that you invite us onto the field to be a part of it. I pray, God, that you lead each person in here. As we're different, we've got different things that you call us to, and yet we're called to be united, even with all our differences, all of our diversity. I pray, God, that in our diversity, we would each individually seek you and find the amazing things that we can do together as we have a whatever it takes attitude about giving through the Spirit. God, may we experience the fruit of the Spirit in our own lives. May we experience the gifts of the Spirit that help us serve one another. And may we see heaven invade earth as your will is done in this community as it is in heaven. You are our King. And in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray for your kingdom to come. Amen.